We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
What's it going to be on third and goal? Rodgers. Moves, throws, pass broken up. Adams a target, well defended. With that stop, the field goal try now by Crosby of 26. Instead of going for it here on fourth and goal, Crosby makes this a five-point game again.
I'm really surprised by that decision, Joe. I thought that they would go for it on fourth down. You're just not sure with Tom Brady that they will get another shot at it.
And we come down to the final 48 seconds, facing third down and five with a five-point lead. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Lambeau Field, trying to notch a win on Championship Sunday. Here's the snap and an end around to Godwin. Godwin running to the third. He's got the first down across the 40. Bucs are going to win this football game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a reverse play. Who would have guessed? Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians dial up the right play. Godwin, our leading receiver, he romps for the first down.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had four timeouts with the 2-minute warning. You know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but, you know, we got called for the PI. It didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process-driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, felt like it was the right decision to do. And it just didn't work out.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's the voice of Matt LaFleur. That was him in the post game. And our thanks to the fine folks at Fox. You heard Troy Aikman there with the highlights there. The Fox broadcast was excellent. And, of course, that Tampa sound is from 98 Rock in Tampa Bay. Yeah, rock and roll. And they are all charged up. It's fascinating when you think about what the coach says there, that they had three shots and they didn't gain any yards. So is he saying that if Rodgers goes ahead and runs there, David, and heads toward the pylon and maybe gets his head down and just dives at it, who knows, probably takes a shot. The linebacker is there, but that is an open lane where you would like Aaron Rodgers' chances once he gets ahead of steam going. If he just goes right for the pylon. Now, I'm sure in Aaron Rodgers' mind, he saw Devontae Adams flash open for a second, and he knows he can get the ball anywhere, and maybe that's what happened. But that looked wrong, and that decision was wrong. What good was it to get it down to five? It didn't make sense at that point in the game. Maybe if he gets down to, I don't know, the three, the two, the one, the goal line, maybe now you're just running a play to score, and then you worry about the two-point conversion. You'd be much better off trying to tie the game there.
Fair enough. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers made the wrong decision, but he's made so many right ones, you understand why he thought he could fit that ball in a window. That said, you're not playing the Lions in the middle of October or a team like the Bears when you have a quarterback that like Mitch Trubisky or even Nick Foles in the middle of a season. You are playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the greatest quarterback ever in the NFC Championship game, and you are Matt LaFleur, and you are basically saying that the odds of forcing a three and out with Tom Brady at the helm and then scoring a winning touchdown were better than the odds of scoring on fourth and goal and converting a two-point conversion with Aaron Rodgers in your offense. Now, I get it. It wasn't their day in the red zone, and we'll look at those numbers in a moment, but that's a heck of a leap to make. And I think that you look at Matt LaFleur. He's won 13 games in each of his first two seasons as a head coach, and he's got a credibility problem in Green Bay because that's a difficult decision to outlive. And I think, and I wonder, does he have to win a Super Bowl now before people forget this? It's going to be difficult to erase because that was the game right there. They never got the ball back, but who expected them to get the ball back? It was Tom Brady.
And David, if you try to run on that play, even if you get turned back on fourth down, you're leaving them in the shadow of the goalpost, right? You're putting a lot of pressure, even on Tom Brady. That is a tough thing to do. Now, look, the end of that half is where they lost the game, the first half, where somehow they are about to punt it. They decide, you know what? What the hell? Let's go for this. There's barely any time left. We may as well try to convert. You get a conversion. Next thing you know, you get a receiver behind the defense, and you get yourself a nice touchdown heading into the halftime locker room.
A remarkable, remarkable mental lapse by the Packers and the coaching staff and Mike Pettine, who may be, as Bigsy pointed out, in the next 3 days. You don't know if he's going to be the fall guy, but how do you defend or justify or even explain? How do you fathom being in man coverage with 8 seconds to go when you got a guy? I don't care if Scotty Miller was drafted in the sixth round, the first round, or the 60th round. He runs a 4.38, and you're going to play man coverage with inside position at that point of the game? Of course, that was an invitation. Try to beat me, and he did. And Tom Brady took advantage. They weren't going to. They were just going to settle. And Bruce Arians was aggressive. And I think that you see the way they handled the end of that first half. And Bruce Arians he seized the moment. And then later in the game, the moment froze Matt LaFleur. And that is the difference. But the end of that first half, well, you're right, that is where the game was maybe decided, because the Bucs got momentum and then they took that lead that they kind of the cushion that the Packers just couldn't overcome in the second half.
Yeah, it was really insane. And, you know, I thought Rodgers in the post game was fascinating because he was simmering underneath the surface there. I think he was so disappointed and angry. And I think all those things come back. You know, you are sitting there talking about your future. What you're saying is, boy, if they hadn't drafted a quarterback there and got a player that either could defend somebody or could score a touchdown, who knows? Maybe if we had one guy, a rookie that could prevent a touchdown or score a touchdown, we win that game. But instead, we got a quarterback sitting over there because that's how you guys operate, and you don't give me the weapons I deserve.
Well, he definitely was sending a message, I feel like, to the front office. And you're right, it was frustration talking, but it was a direct message, and we can listen to it. This is what Aaron Rodgers had to say post-game about his uncertain future.
There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now, and I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough, especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach.
Yeah. he didn't sound – he said – what did he say going into the game? That his future was a beautiful mystery? Well, mm-hmm. It seemed more mystery than beauty at that point, David.
Without a doubt. And I wonder also, you know, that was the long-term prognosis, the uncertainty. But short-term and you know, the immediacy of the postgame, he didn't give Matt LaFleur a break. It sounded like when he explained the third down decision to try to, you know, squeeze the ball into Davante Adams, that he was saying that he thought he would have a fourth down and that it wasn't his decision. And it didn't sound like a staunch defense of his head coach. So that was definitely, you know, it was as it was pointed out postgame and in a lot of the reports from Green Bay beat writers, after the Packers lost the NFC Championship game a year ago, I think Aaron Rodgers sounded an optimistic tone, you know, in terms of going into the offseason after what they accomplished. He had as much fun as he ever had in 2019. That was not what you heard yesterday. What you heard yesterday was somewhat of a, I don't know, an implied threat to management. You surround me with people or else. And I just think that that makes the quarterback situation around the league even more intriguing to follow. I don't think they're going to be, you know, moving on in Green Bay, but he certainly raised some doubt.
He should have run on that play, and he was asked about the kicking of the field goal, and his quote was, "I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all our timeouts, wait for it, but it wasn't my decision." I mean, is that not throwing the guy directly under the bus? It's not my fault. Hey, don't look at me. I got to tell you, the Packers are left yet again coming up short, despite having one of the best quarterbacks in history, the league MVP this year, coming up short. And it's embittering because it brings into question the way they operate and do business. They were thinking about replacing Rodgers instead of helping him. I'm just saying from his viewpoint. And he's not the kind of guy that is just going to forget that or look past that. And he's not the kind of guy that's going to take the blame for that. So that goes right to the coach, and he didn't bother trying to hide any of that. He was clearly disappointed, and he was playing the blame game. No,
he definitely was. But you know what? You look at his numbers, and I think Aaron Rodgers is what he is. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. But he was 2-9 in goal to go situations yesterday in the red zone. Mm-hmm. They weren't very good down there, and the decisions and whether or not, you know, Davante Adams, they were trying to force it to him too much in the red zone. They weren't clicking the way we are used to seeing the Packers offense click in the red zone. And for a lot of reasons, the Bucs played pretty good defense. But I will that's a relationship worth following in the offseason, because if you thought it was, you know, great, you thought that it was all chummy again, and you thought things were looking up, and then yesterday happened. So I don't know. All bets are off, because he was not sounding like a guy that was accepting responsibility for his part. It sounded like a guy throwing his coach under the bus.
He also said, and this is kind of throwing the general manager under the bus, he said, there are a lot of guys' futures that are uncertain, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. I mean, you know, he's telling them, you either get better players for me to continue to succeed. And look, they were down a Pro Bowl tackle, don't get me wrong. But my goodness gracious, this guy, he's miffed, and he sounded like a guy ready to roll tide.
And the contrast was obvious. As we pointed out earlier, you know, Tom Brady joins the Buccaneers, and what do? They go out and get Gronkowski. They go out eventually, and they get Antonio Brown. They, you know, they sign Leonard Fournette when he was basically discarded. And they go out and they draft a right tackle. They draft a tackle to fortify that offensive line. They did everything in the name of getting the most out of that roster with Tom Brady on it. And the Packers, they did almost the opposite. They didn't help Aaron Rodgers, and they were there in spite of the front office rather than because of, I think, in his mind. And that's what you heard, I think, postgame, was all that spilling out.
You know, getting those players in, going out and just keep adding to it, keep adding to it. I mean, you know, Antonio Holmes missed the game with a knee injury, but they have been developing guys all year long. The Leonard Fournette, the Bears didn't need it. Leonard Fournette, they didn't talk to Leonard Fournette. The Bucs loved it, brought him in, and guess what? Fresh legs late in the season. Your running back goes down for a little bit. Oh, we got this guy. He was a number 4 pick in the draft. Do they win that game without Leonard Fournette? I mean, he helped them a ton. He had a big third down conversion. I mean, there were – he was converting on third down. Was it six in a row to open the game? I mean, that is really spectacular what they were able to do with that group. And they constantly were thinking about getting better and being there at the end of the year. They weren't – and you're right. They struggled earlier in the season. Obviously, the signature win for the Bears was that week five. But they struggled. And now – they're no longer struggling. They've improved. They've gotten better as the season's gone on, and we'll see what happens in the Super Bowl. It's fascinating.
Yeah, Bruce Arians was the right guy to manage this entire operation. The risk management, the way that he went for it, and the way that Jason Light built the roster. Yeah, the Bucs are studying how to go for it and how to structure and build a roster and make every decision that is built around the same idea, winning the Super Bowl now and showing a sense of urgency.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Did not do it like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. KC Johnson brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan. Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. KC, good morning.
Hey, KC. Morning, KC.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We are living the dream. Really enjoyed watching the Bulls have the 3-game winning streak, and we understand they were going through this stretch where they didn't know how to win and they had various issues. Then, of course, two days ago, they ran into a buzzsaw. You know, that Lakers team was just better than them, so there wasn't a lot you could say about that. But they did fight their way back, but what's your takeaway? Are they learning to win? Do you see this team improving? It looks like they're getting better.
Yes to all the above. I mean, they're clearly showing a trust in the system and each other. They're playing really beautiful offensive basketball for the most part, minus some unsightly turnovers at times, which have also compromised their defense. But, you know, there are multiple games where they're placing at least five players in double-figure scoring. They've had four games where they play seven players in double-figure scoring. So they're spreading their ball around. They're sharing the ball. They've had four games with 30 or more assists, which is pretty remarkable for a team that also turns the ball over as much as they do and had trouble even passing a lot of times last season. So offensively, there's a lot to like. And, you know, you guys have been around teams, and obviously we're not as close to this team as we have been to other teams in the past because of the Zoom aspect to media coverage. But there's just a vibe around this team that just speaks to its confidence and its belief in each other. So there's a lot to like right now if you're a Bulls fan.
You know, KC, I think we've always been a little bit – awed by the physical gifts of Zach LaVine, and I think you watch him, whether it's dunking or shooting or scoring, he can get to the basket and make things happen, and that's no different this year. But I think what's different lately seems like he's taken that next step. And is it just because of the coaching? Is it just because of his maturation? Is it a combination of both that we're seeing a smarter player that is understanding and kind of letting the game come to him a little bit more? But he has been very consistent in making the right decisions with the ball and without the ball.
No question. And I would to answer your question, David, I would say a combination. You know, it's pretty well documented. He's had six coaches, you know, in his seven NBA seasons, which is pretty remarkable. So he hasn't had a lot of continuity. It's also clear that he respects the pedigree and the approach of Billy Donovan, and has taken very quickly to that. And then you can't overlook the work that this guy puts in the offseason. And one thing that he's been detailing to us that is new, I mean, we always knew that he put in film study during the offseason, but the level to which he did this season to help him with his reads and his decision-making when he's attacking different defenses was pretty remarkable. And I think it's led to a lot of what you're saying. It's not just the fact that he's making the right decision so many times. He's also really approaching different defensive coverages with a abundant amount of patience. He's really, you know, when you're an elite scorer, an elite athlete, and number one on the scouting chart for the opponent, you obviously see a lot of different defensive coverages throughout a game. And you know, a lot of times what Billy Donovan has said is that players kind of have a predetermined plan to attack those different coverages. Well, Zach's not even really doing that. I mean, he has a general idea of things he might want to do, but he's showing such patience that he's almost doing it by the play and then deciding to attack how that, you know, particular coverage comes at him. And, you know, the maturation, the word you use, David, and then the poise for such situations, I think, is leading to the results that you're seeing. And it's been pretty impressive to this point.
I like the rotations. I like what he's doing, Billy Donovan. You know, you just feel, you can see good coaching as it unfolds in front of you. And and it's a pronounced difference. The guy is a really good NBA coach.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a Hall of Fame collegiate coach. I mean, he's going to be in that, you know, someday with the two national championships of Florida. And then, you know, he's on the coach of the year, you know, top three ballot last year because of what the job he did in Oklahoma City. Obviously took all five Thunder teams to the playoffs that he was a part of, and did so with a lot of changing rosters. So yeah, he's worth what he's getting. I mean, he's an adult and a professional coach, and just knows how to treat players and knows how to, you know, incorporate what makes them comfortable with what he believes, and does so in a direct manner. Doesn't yell a lot. I mean, just lays it out there. He just treats people like adults, and you can see why people respect him so much, because he treats everybody pretty similarly, in the sense, just in terms of accountability. I mean, he has different relationships with different people because he's a people person and he's a relationship builder and he's a player's coach. But just in terms of accountability, he treats, you know, the best players the same as the 15th player. So he's direct. It's been pretty refreshing to see how the players have taken to him. And really also, you know, the management regime. I mean, you know, this is Arturas' pivot and Arturas' hire, and Mark Eversley obviously went down there with him as well. But the excitement level they must be feeling and having over making this such a critical hire and making it the right one, because there's a lot of just positivity from that position.
Casey, Patrick Williams did not have a great homecoming game. He against Charlotte the other night. He's 19. He goes home, play an NBA game. It's kind of funny. It was 2-7. But his growth, I loved his attitude when he was asked about going back and playing against Ball and all the things that come with that drama. He said, no, I've got to guard Gordon Hayward. And I think it spoke to that kind of maturity and that kind of professionalism that he's had. He's got, I think, double figures in 7 of his 16 games. Is he further along offensively or defensively at this point? Or does it go without saying almost that he is defensively where you want him to be, but offensively has a little bit of work to do in his game?
Yeah, I would probably say he's further along defensively. But, you know, offensively, one issue has cropped up of late. He is showing a little bit of hesitancy in shooting open shots, which wasn't apparent early in the season. So that's been a little bit of a blip, you know, the last couple of games. He's passed up some open shots, which is weird because he's shooting a nice percentage, particularly from three. They've mostly been open threes that he's passed up. So it's something that's cropped up on the beat. You know, we've been asking him in Philly about it, and, you know, he addressed it. I thought he had a nice close to the Lakers game after a slow start. You know, he did not have a good game in Charlotte. But, yeah, that moment you allude to, David, is easily my favorite Zoom movement of the young season. I mean, if you guys had been on that, you should have seen his face when somebody asked if it was a matchup with LaMelo Ball. Because he's 19, so he wants to be respectful. But, you know, this is not who I'm guarding. I'm guarding Gordon Hayward. It just speaks to his team approach and his really mature mindset. It's pretty impressive.
Why do they turn the ball over with such proficiency? They're averaging over 18 turnovers a game. And, you know, when you play a good team like the Lakers with the defensive rotation, you kind of understand it. But there are other times where and I get it. They're learning. You got guys playing guard that are kind of learning the position. They might not have grown up as point guards. Nonetheless, they've got to protect the ball somehow.
Yeah, it's got a little bit better lately. Early on, it was inexplicable. I mean, because they were like, it was like basic pressure that they were coughing the ball up against. There was that the second game of the season against the Pacers where the Pacers put in a little bit of full court pressure, and like Patrick Williams threw away two straight inbounds passes. So it's a lot. You know, you've got a team that hasn't played in 9 months with shortened training camp, absorbing a new system, guys in and out of the rotation, hit by COVID. Patrick Williams is 19. You don't have a true point guard. I mean, I can list the excuses, but you still got to get better at it. And it has improved a little bit of late. The last time I checked, they were not last in the league anymore. They were 29th, I want to say, in turnovers, and they might have climbed to 28th at one point. But, yeah, it's been an issue. And to me, it's compromised their defense, obviously, a lot, right? Because you're giving up live ball turnovers, and then it's so easy for the opponent to go down to the other end and score. So it's something they need to clean up. And, like I said, with the offensive numbers they're putting up, if you clean up that issue, you know, the potential here is pretty legit for this to be a pretty high-scoring and entertaining team. I mean, that's been the biggest thing to me, beyond the fact that the record is 7-9 or what have you. It's been an entertaining brand of basketball to watch, and that's a big change, you know, for long-suffering Bulls fans. It's just been it's been fun to watch them play.
They're fun. They are. They're exciting. They score points. They compete. That's the one thing, yep, that has been missing. And, Casey, as Zach LaVine continues to maybe have big games and create bigger headlines, trade rumors will come, and those will be the headlines next. And whether it's Ben Simmons or other people around the league, you'll start to see those things crop up with more frequency. How equipped do you think he is to handle those kind of things, and how likely do you think the Bulls are to engage in those kind of talks?
The first is a non-issue. I mean, he's been through trade rumors before. He's a total pro. He knows it's a business. He knows how to handle that. That's a non-issue. The latter one is going to be a bigger storyline. There's a lot of time between now and March 25th, and you don't know where the Bulls season's going to go, and you don't really know what management thinks, because they're off limits to us, and Arturs is a pretty close-minded guy. I should say close to the vest guy. What I will say is, as of right now, and this means very little, but, you know, the people I talk to around the league, the impression is that Arturs is liking what he's seen from Zach. And right now, it's not like, no one on this roster is untouchable, but it's not like Arturs is out there saying, oh, we got to get rid of Zach, or, you know, what can we get for Zach? I mean, that's not the impression around the league right now. So I've said all along, I believe it's the season of evaluation. I think Zach is exceeding pretty much everybody's expectations. That said, you've got a financial decision to make regarding this guy's future at some point. If you are going to move him, this would be the ideal time to do so, because the summer before free agency, his value would be less. If you're asking me to guess as of today, this very moment, I do not think he will be moved before the March 25th deadline, but a lot of time between now and then. And it certainly will be a storyline. That is indisputable. So you're spot on there, David.
Great stuff, KC. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, KC.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
And he's right. It's a fun team to watch. And it's also fun to listen to Mark Grody. When Mark Grody speaks, you have fun. It's that simple. The man is
Grody.
A walking party.
Well, we talked about the gadget place. This is called Smoked Sausage, Jim.
Well, we're in Kansas City.
There it is, and they come up with a new one down here every week. Here's Stampede Right. And you know why it's Stampede Right. Everybody goes right, and then you stampede in the middle. I don't know what that means.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That's Tony Romo and Jim Nantz, and they're talking about the trick plays from the fine folks at Kansas City. And I would imagine, David, that Matt Nagy could probably break those down better than Tony Romo.
Yeah, but it's a lot more fun to name your plays when you have guys like Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Hardman and Patrick Mahomes certainly executing them. I mean, the big difference in the two, they don't quite work the same when you have the Bears offensive players in the last couple of years. I'm sure Matt Nagy watched that game yesterday, recognized a lot of what he was watching, and felt a lot of fun watching it. And I don't know if there was a degree of envy or just pride, but yeah, that was a lot of fun. When they are one of those offenses that you just don't get tired of watching, because they can hurt you in so many ways.
Do you fear at all that Matt Nagy watches those games and feels like he's been given permission?
Not really. That didn't go through my mind. I'll tell you what did go through my mind when it came to Nagy. If, you know, because we're here in Chicago and fixated on the Bears, you do wonder for a moment, like, he left the Chiefs before they won the Super Bowl, certainly, and he left before, you know, Mahomes made the ascension. You wonder, I mean, he's a head coach in the NFL, and certainly those are prized jobs. You wonder if he ever, for a moment, like, wonders, boy, you know, that would have been fun to stay.
Would they have won the Super Bowl and gotten to this point if he were still there? Oh, that's so mean.
That's pretty mean.
That was the meanest thing ever. I'm sorry. It's just a joke. Of course they would.
I think Your offense is Mahomes-proofed, and I think once it's Mahomes-proofed, you can pretty much, no matter who's calling the plays, no matter what design, no matter what you call them, usually you're going to call them successful, and I think that is the key with that guy at the helm. You have, you know, the Super Bowl now, Super Bowl 55, is a matchup between the greatest quarterback ever and the quarterback most likely to challenge that title. and that is probably as good as you could have hoped for from a league perspective to have these two guys matching up on the biggest stage. They did it once before this season, and after that game, to bring it full circle to the Romo moment, Tony Romo said, I think we're going to see these two teams again in Tampa, and here we are.
Yeah, I'm curious when you think about the Bears and their lack of success at the quarterback position, a chronic lack of success at the quarterback position would, let's just say, for the sake of argument, go in the Wayback Machine. If you did draft Patrick Mahomes instead of Mitchell Trubisky, would he be as good a player? And I'll go even farther. Say instead of taking Cedric Benson, you ended up taking Aaron Rodgers. Would that have worked out in Chicago?
Well, those are two very different time frames, but I think that going back to 05, yeah, I definitely think that would have worked. You would have had a situation where Aaron Rodgers would have been learning and challenging Rex Grossman. And I think that even in 2006, which Rex Grossman, by the way, has as many NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers does, but Rex Grossman would have been unlikely to hold off Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers would not have sat for 3 years. It would have been maybe 3 weeks. But you wonder how he would have ascended. I don't know that he would have been the same quarterback, would have been maybe not had the Hall of Fame credentials, but certainly with that defense and that structure and that framework, you got to think they would have won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, right?
Well, that's fascinating. I mean, they were winning with Kyle Orton, right?
So yeah.
You would think that Aaron Rodgers is greater than Kyle Orton, ergo they would win with Aaron Rodgers. I think what's fascinating is the idea that Rodgers had all this developmental time and he had a chance to kind of, you know, sit back and be coached and watch Brett Favre operate. And, you know, they were operating at a very high level in Green Bay in terms of quarterback development, stuff like that, that always seemed to elude people here in Chicago. For whatever reason, I've said this before. I'm not sure we know what it looks like to see a quarterback develop, to see, you know, a guy come in and be good and then get better and then improve and the whole bit. I don't think we've seen that. I think we've had high expectations for anybody that has come in and played at that position, and maybe unrealistically with some guys.
You just saw a 50-game sample of what that's supposed to look like. You draft a guy, you insert him as a starter, as a rookie, probably a little bit earlier than you would have liked, and you saw him have some success, you know, in 2018. Mitch Trubisky did have a feeling at the end of that 2018 season that you had found your guy, right? He had created that sort of situation, and then he regressed for whatever reason. So we've seen it happen, just not happen successfully. You know, going back to the hypothetical, If Aaron Rodgers were here in Chicago instead of Cedric Benson in that draft, then you probably don't have to give up all the draft picks you had to give up for Jay Cutler, and that era never takes off. So there's a lot of things that would have been different about the Bears, about the NFL, had Aaron Rodgers not been drafted by the Packers, and that's fun. It's fun to consider, you know. And Mahomes, I think, would have had success. That talent, Molly, talent, if you will,
he would have succeeded
anywhere.
But I would even say, David, that both those examples, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, are guys that seem to operate sometimes without great mechanics. You know, can throw off of a back foot or can, you know, be on the move and be accurate. It's sometimes shocking to see how accurate those guys can be, despite not really setting themselves as you would imagine a quarterback would want to, and just, I mean, it's incredible arm talent.
When you have such uncommon poise and command, I think you can have the kind of unorthodox mechanics the approach to, because you're right, the different arm angles, the sidearm, the look away, the no-look passes, those are the kind of things you can control defensive backs with your eyes. And you can see the breakdowns of Rodgers looking one way, throwing another. Same with Mahomes. The great ones know how to do it. And these guys were, you know, just so – they don't ever seem to lack composure in the pocket. And that presence is what is as impressive as anything.
How has Tampa done it? How have they managed to get to a home Super Bowl? We're going to bring in Rick Stroud to talk about it next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.